Would you give the Lord one more praise, one more big praise for the 2024 International Prophetic Summit being hosted right here at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. The title is going to be a little strange. You will understand it at the end. The 1915 warning, the message, this message could save your family's life. Now, I'm going to show you a picture that we knew was in the family. We didn't know who had it, and I never saw it till a few months ago. So if we can bring this picture up. I will not explain to you who the two adults are, nor the little baby in the coffin, the boy that's 5 years old. But if people want to know why Pam and I hold certain strong beliefs towards certain things, and at times, you'll understand in a moment what I'm saying, I feel like a dinosaur. We say we're dinosaurs when 52% of the Christian world is doing this, and we avoid it. But I'm going to take it from a prophetic perspective because this is a prophetic summit. So let's go, Jonathan, to Luke 21, 34 through 36 in the scripture. And the picture will be explained at the very end of the message. The Bible says this: take heed to yourselves and be on guard, lest your hearts be overcharged and depressed or weighed down with giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness and worldly cares and cares pertaining to the business of this life, and lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose, for it will come upon all those that live on the face of the earth. Keep awake and watch at all times. Be discreet, active, and ready, praying that you may have the full strength and ability to be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are taken together and that will take place and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. This is the Amplified Version, which is kind of an expanded translation that I seldom quote. But there is something that's happening, and Satan is snaring ministers, he's snaring elders, and he is snaring church members with what I'm about to share with you. The Bible says in the King James translation, as a snare, this which Jesus spoke will come upon all of those that dwell on the entire earth. The Greek word snare is pagis, and it is a trap fastened by a noose. It actually can allude to, in such verses as 2 Timothy 2:26, a trick that Satan brings to you that you fall for that causes you to fall into some form of a temptation. What I'm going to share with you is important because if you go to Luke's gospel about the end times, it shows me three things here. One, that something is weakening in the last days the power of individual discipline or self-control. It shows me in this text that there is a resistance to certain things that is weakened and people are giving into them. It alludes in the text to being bogged down with cares of this life. And the word in Greek is to disunite or to distract. In other words, you're becoming so disconnected from Scripture and so disconnected from how you were raised and so disconnected from what is the right thing that you just are weighed down with what you're dealing with. However, the one verse that stands out in my mind, or should I say the one word, is drunkenness. The Greek word is methe. In early Greek mythology, methe was a demon that would make people drink wine to the point of becoming drunk. And the idea of methe in this text and the idea of the demon or the god called methe is the idea that you would drink to relieve your cares. You would drink to relieve your pain. Methe is also any mind-altering substance. It is interesting that the biggest crisis in America is called meth, because it is a substance that has taken lives, put people in addiction, caused them to lose all the teeth in their mouth, caused them to be under such bondage that their skin breaks out, caused them to lose their automobile, their home, their kids, their family, put people in prison, and put thousands in an early grave. In the days of Lot and Noah, as you've heard me preach for years, there's always certain signs that are equated to Noah's day and Lot's day that will reappear at the time of the end. And I want to give you an overlooked sign that is almost never preached on. We preach about Genesis 6 and 7, the pre-flood signs. We go to Genesis 19 and talk about the parallels. You've heard me do it, of the days of Lot. However, there's something that happened after the destruction came in both of these men's lives that is very strange. The overlooked sign is this. Before the flood, they drank, Luke 17, 26. And the word they drank is Greek for pino, and it actually means they were drunk. They were drinking to the point of becoming drunk, Luke 17, 28. Then, after the flood of Noah, so we have this before the time of Lot, and even before the flood, we know the parallels there, but before the time of Lot, this is happening. And before the flood, this is happening. After the flood, though, something very bizarre happened. It says Noah planted a vineyard, and Noah was drinking to the point that all of his clothes were off. And his sons came in and saw it. And if you know the story, Ham reported it, and Japheth and Shem came in backwards so they would not see their father's nakedness, and laid a cloth over top of him. And when Noah arose, and I won't go into the very bizarre and weird possibility of what actually happened, because it would just, you'd get stuck on that if I were to tell you. But it says that Noah knew what his younger son had done, and he placed a curse on Canaan. Canaan was a son of Ham. Cursed be Canaan. He will have to serve his brethren. And the curse was a result of what happened in relation to Noah being drunk in his tent. The situation I want to tell you is this. If you will look at Lot becoming drunk after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in a cave, his two daughters, and this is really bizarre because this would be considered incest today, but his two daughters believed that the world had been destroyed, because Josephus alludes to the fact that Adam was given a prophecy that the world would be destroyed once by water and the second time by fire. They knew the prophecy. It was handed down. Well, the flood had already taken place. However, the second one had not. And when four cities are destroyed with fire coming out of heaven and everything is annihilated, they are up on a mountain in a cave, and the daughters said, all mankind has been destroyed, and we have to carry on the earth's population the way that Noah's sons and the wives did. Mama was dead. Lot's wife had been taken and turned into the pillar of salt as she's trying to escape. The Dead Sea, the bottom of the Dead Sea is full of salt. It is a salt sea. So they commit incest, but they do it by doing what? Does anybody know the Bible? By getting their father drunk twice. And by becoming drunk twice, something happened where two sons were actually born. And if you know anything about the two sons, and you will study what God said later, one of those sons was placed under a curse for 10 generations. All the tribe was placed under a curse. Canaan was placed under a curse. Because a lot of Christians don't realize this. They see themselves of having liberty to do whatever they want to do. I'm saved. I have a liberty. I am not under bondage. I'm not under the law. But they do not realize that what they are doing will impact their children and their grandchildren. Because understand that Lot's drunkenness put a curse on one of those boys. Understand that Noah's drunkenness put a curse on his grandson. And the Canaanites were the group of people that took over the cities that we now know as Sodom and Gomorrah, which was the name, by the way, of one of the great grandchildren of those descendants. Now, I don't know of too many Christians who take meth because they think it's dangerous, or heroin because they know it's dangerous, or cocaine. I know there are people in this building, because I know some of your testimonies, that have told me you were once addicted to those things. But we have a problem. And this problem makes Pam and I a dinosaur. Jensen Franklin is in alignment and agreement with Pam and I. He's against this. He's what he called, we are called teetotalers. Thank you, all five of you. I knew that's the response I'd get from probably this crowd. You cannot get most Christians to look at pornography, go see a stripper, take heroin, meth, or cocaine, but they sure love their alcohol. I'm not going to make friends from TV. I have people writing me who supported me that said, I will never give you a dime because I like my wine. I will never give you a dime because I have had them back up from me. I could get 50 times more support by avoiding this subject, but I would rather save your babies and your grandchildren from destruction than I would to have you send me an offering. And that's the truth. Ready for this statistic? 51% of Christians in America consume alcohol. Let me give you the statistics that to me were mind-blowing. These are all on the internet. None of these are made up. 40% of Americans have direct experience with alcohol abuse or alcoholism, meaning they were in a family where that occurred. 75% of all high school students drink alcohol, and 50% of junior high school. 17,200 people die in car crashes every year just in America from alcoholics who were drunk and hit someone in an automobile. From 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. in America, 1 in 7 people are actually drunk. Youth who drink are 7, and this is alcohol, any form of alcohol, youth who drink are 7.5 times more likely to use drugs and 50 times more likely to use cocaine. 1 in 10 people who social drink end up becoming a full-blown alcoholic. In America, there are 20 million alcoholics and 80,000 deaths a year, which are associated to alcoholism in America. You are 50 times, now this is a statistic, you are 50 times more likely to move from alcohol to cocaine if you drink alcohol consistently. America, there are 80% of all crime. Now think about what I'm saying. 80% of all crime is alcohol related. 50% of all murders, the criminal who performed the murder was connected with alcohol or drunkenness in some fashion. Yearly, students in America, now think about this, students just in America spend $5.5 billion a year on spring break and throughout the year, not just spring break, but throughout the year to get drunk or to somehow have some thrill with alcohol. Here's a shock. One half of all ordained ministers in the United States now drink alcohol. Years ago, you never saw it among Baptists, Pentecostals, even among the old-time Methodists. Everybody was a teetotaler. It has completely, totally changed. For those of you watching, my audience is mostly Baptist because there's more Baptists than people in America. Can I tell you that? and the Baptists love Perry because they love the word. And that's the God's truth. How many Baptists are here? Former Baptists? What, see, they're here today. But listen to me. This is a shocker. This really stunned me. 48% of Southern Baptist members drink alcohol. 16% of church drinkers end up becoming full-blown alcoholics. But I know the excuse. And I know the story. Jesus turned the water into wine. Okay, let's go there. Do you know that if you were to take grape juice and add sugar to it, that you eventually turn it into alcohol. It turns. It naturally turns. It takes, from my research, 30 days to start the natural process. But Jesus did not turn water into wine and everybody say, this is great. This is the greatest high and the greatest drunk I've ever been on. Can I explain why? Because in the Old Testament, there is Greek, there are Hebrew words that tell you it's fermented, and there are Hebrew words that tell you it's not fermented. Did you know in the Bible, it calls wine, wine, when it's still a grape hanging on the vine? Look not upon the wine, you know, the so on. But when it's on the vine, it is still called wine. And see, you cannot relate that because they're talking about the taste, and they're not talking about some alcohol content that it takes 30 days to put the alcohol in it. Mm-hmm. Preach on, I think I will. And then there's always the verse that Paul wrote to Timothy. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. So we assume that Timothy went down to the local restaurant, got him a bottle of wine that had 12 to 14% alcohol in it, and took care of his stomach problems. And I've had alcoholics tell me, well, you know, there ain't nothing wrong. You got to take a little bit for your stomach. I said, let me tell you what I take. Imodium AD, Pepto-Bismol, and Tums. And if that don't work, Alka-Seltzer. Come on, somebody better help me preach. I want somebody to help me just a little bit. Well, you know, all the water was bad in that day. That is a lie. That's from people who love to drink alcohol because every village was built around a well of water that was fresh water that was drinkable. We're going to go somewhere. I took with me one time to Israel a group of very precious ladies that happened to be partners of the ministry from wine country in California. They live with the vineyards. And they had heard me do a teaching and they said, give us the reason why you prefer not to drink at all. And I'll get to that in a minute. And I said, have you heard about the study that Yale University did on the normal process of the formation of wine versus how it was in Jesus' day? Because you assume that wine is just like the wine you buy at the ABC store. No, we've not heard that. 20% of alcohol has been added to the process of fermentation in the wine bottles that you buy in a place. This process never existed until the Middle Ages. It did not exist in Christ's time. And here's what blew him away, and this is in history. The wine in Jesus' day was mixed with 3 parts water per 1 glass. And here's why. The grape harvest was only 1 time a year. So you had to make the pressing of the grapes that you put in those wineskins go a long way and last for months and months and months. So in order to do that, they would take spring water and put 3 parts for every 1/4 of part of wine. Now someone say, why would they do that? The answer is that it reduces the content of any fermentation that would be there almost to the level of what they call non-alcoholic beer. Here's what Yale University, not Perry Stone, but a university discovered, that if you were to take 1 glass of wine in Jesus' day versus the alcohol in martinis, you would have to drink 21 glasses of wine from the first century to equal the alcohol in 2 martinis. And that is because it was consistently mixed with water. How many of you, this is the first time you've heard that. Raise your hand. I'm just curious. Okay. We're on the right track. Justin Martyr, an early church father, I will quote him now, said this. According to the rules of the drink offerings in the temple service, the wine was composed so that it was 2/3 water to 1 part excellent wine. Here's another quote. Therefore, the supervisor will receive the cup in which the wine and water are mixed, and the leader of the congregation and all the people said their praise. Then those that have been appointed to deacons deliver the bread and the wine. He's talking about the communion service, and mix the water after that Thanksgiving. Now, there is in Israel a Shabbat, and it's called wine, and it has no alcohol in it. They've arranged it that it has no alcohol, and they still call it wine in Hebrew on the wine bottle. In the Old Testament, there are words that distinguish fermentation versus non-fermentation. They do not do that in Greek. So in the Greek, when the word wine is mentioned, it doesn't really specify, is it alcohol or is it non-alcohol? So you just have to assume it's the word wine and see the context of the setting or the historical references that I'm going to be giving you to help understand what we're talking about. Now, here's what the Bible, this is a book called Wine in the Bible. Mostly all the positive references to wine in the Bible are related to unfermented, unintoxicating grape juice, which was used in Jewish home. Passover would use red wine with a large mixture of water. My point is the water was mixed because of children at the service. So you cannot take what we have today in restaurants and that sort of thing and try to equate it to what you're reading in the New Testament. Everybody that hears me so far, put your hands together and let me know that you hear me.
During the 2024 Prophetic Summit, five speakers unlocked unusual prophetic mysteries, presenting striking insights that many attendees had never heard. We received several testimonies from those who attended. One attendee shared,
I've studied the Bible my entire life. I binge-watch prophecy programs. Before I came to the conference, I thought I'd heard everything. But after listening to these 13 messages and speakers, I realized I haven't even heard half of it, and certainly don't know as much as I thought.
The 13 2024 Prophetic Summit messages are now available on CD, DVD, USB drive as MP3 audio files, as well as video on demand. Hear Jonathan Kahn as he unveiled the Josiah Manifesto, unlocking more end-time mysteries and patterns. Bill Cloud examined the question, where in the world is Palestine? He later taught what the Bible reveals about global warming. It's not what you think. Mark Biltz exposed the designs and plots of the internal war in America. Mark's second message is illustrated with PowerPoint charts, helping identify the true biblical calendar and amazing prophetic parallels. Lance Wall now released a stunning revelation titled, How God Will Soon Shake the Visible and Invisible Kingdoms. Lance's second teaching will teach you about receiving the firstborn anointing that brings about the final fall of Satan's influence and the demise of his kingdom. Billy Crone proved by 12 facts exposing that aliens are actually demonic manifestations. You certainly don't want to miss this insightful message. Perry Stone's five new messages are 16 Harbingers, Parallels of the Days of Noah and Lot. Perry then explains the mystery of the eighth beast and the death wound that is healed. In his third message, Perry will give you the seven things that must happen before the Antichrist arrives. You will then be enthralled when Perry transports you into the future with the message, The Mystery of the New Heavens on the New Earth. This includes the biblical prophecy of an opening on earth where saints on the new earth can peer into hell. Then Perry's most talked about and stirring message, exposing an early family secret in his Italian family, is called the 1915 Warning. This message could save your family's life. This truth can transform your relatives and children for eternity. The 13 audio CDs or USB drive are $70. The 13 DVDs are $105 per set, and the video on demand is available for $90. Invest in your future. Be informed of what is coming. Discover God's latest word on the last days. Listen or watch over and over again and glean important spiritual insights. You may order by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or go online at perrystone.org. You may also send a check or money order and order by using the product codes on the screen. The address is Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Order today. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
If you watch the Manifest telecast, it's very important that you stay with me all the way to the end, whether it's in social media or whether it's on a TV station, because we always have some special announcements toward the end. I want to just mention to you that every Tuesday night in Cleveland, Tennessee at the Omega Center International, there is a service that begins at 6:30. We're having so many new families move to the area from different parts of the country, and many of them are coming to be a part of the Omega Center International family. Dr. Brian Cutshaw is the director of the ministry there. We do preach there occasionally, once every 5 or 6 weeks, because our schedule stays pretty busy, but we want to invite you to be a part of that. The International School of the Word is a part of our outreach ministry as well. Let's just put that up on the screen. You can get courses. You can get actual credit, accreditation for your courses. And it's an online Bible school with thousands of people. And Dr. Cutshaw is the head of that. And I'm also a part of the Bible school ministry as well. I have a lot of teaching there. But I do want to make mention of you of something very important. As we come into the year 2025, and we don't know what a year holds or what it brings, but at the end of March, we're going to be having another big Warrior Fest. And we'll be talking about that later. The registration doesn't begin until the end of the year. This is our big youth event, but I want you to mark your calendar now for the end of March next year. It'll be a Friday, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning service for our big Warrior Fest. We have some great plans for that. We have some great musicians and singers coming in. And we had a wonderful time this past spring. And we don't know how many we're going to have in 2025. If you hear me say 2024, 2025 is what I'm talking about. So help us pray. And I appreciate you that tell us you pray for us. We meet you sometimes in restaurants or where we're staying or in a service. And your prayers have meant so much to us. We have watched God send the greatest revivals in the history of our ministry. Can you believe that? 65 years of age and now seeing the greatest moves of God with thousands of people coming to the churches that we've ever seen. I want to say to God be the glory. I will never take any credit for anything that God is doing. I don't even take credit for me writing a book. He helps me to do everything I do, and I lift my hands to Him and say, to God be the glory. So keep up with us with perrystone.org, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page, and we hope to see you in the future. God bless you. Greetings, everyone. This is Perry Stone, and we're about to have the greatest gathering in the history of the Voice of Evangelism Ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee at the Omega Center International. On October the 1st through the 5th, we have our Awaken America event. Every denomination, patriots, Christians, believers from all denominations, you're invited to join me with Mario Morello, Lance Walnow, Joseph Z., with myself as keynote speakers. Jensen Franklin is coming. There has never been an event held at the Omega Center International like this. October 1, Tuesday night, through Saturday, October the 5th, with Pam's Fall Festival in the evening on Saturday. Register now at perrystone.org.